I want us to go to the Lord for prayer. Several people in our church family, we need to lift up in prayer this week. Various things going on. I'm not going to run down through the list and take the time to do that. I'm going to pray for these people, and I encourage you to pray for those that are on your heart right now, or join me in prayer as I pray. Agree with me in prayer as I pray for these people of our church today. Let's talk to the Lord together. Father, we are so grateful that we can come to you this morning and bring our loved ones to you. We come, Father, first of all, with a heart of thanksgiving and praise today because of who you are and all that you've done and all that you can do. To know that there is nothing that is impossible for you, Father, it is beyond our imagination. It is awesome to know that we can't bring a request to you, Father, that you can't meet. We can't make a request that you can't answer. And we thank you, Lord, that you've promised as we come to the throne of grace, Lord, we will receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. So, Father, we come with grateful hearts today. We come with an attitude of thanksgiving, praising you, Lord, for who you are, thanking you in advance for what you're going to do, asking you to cleanse our hearts and forgive us of our sins. Purify us, Lord. Receive our requests, our offerings, our prayers here this morning. God, we pray for Ed Edmund and for Tony Pavone as they go into surgery this coming week. We ask you, Lord, to guide the hands of the physicians that will be taking care of these precious men, God. And we believe that you're going to use these particular situations to bring healing to both of these gentlemen in this week and sweet, sweet relief from the pain they've been experiencing. We bless and praise you for that in Jesus' name. Father, we pray today for Don Bartow. We pray for David Harold. And we pray for others of our church family who may be suffering from flu symptoms or virus symptoms of some sort today. We ask, Lord, for your mighty hand of grace to rest upon these precious brothers and others as well, to bring healing, restoration, wholeness, and soundness to their bodies again and raise them up, Father. Lord, we know that there are some home today because of weather-related issues and flooding in their homes. We pray, Father, for your protection over those precious people. And we pray, Lord, for protection over their property and all that belongs to them. Even as we pray for ourselves, Lord, and things that we may be experiencing ourselves in the coming days. We trust, God, that you're going to take care of us and watch over us. You're going to keep us in your hand and in your way. We thank you, God, for your loving care for us and your loving kindness toward us that's new every morning, and your grace that is sufficient to meet our every need. Others of our family, Lord, with various issues going on in their life, God, I thank you that there isn't a thing that anyone in our church is dealing with today that you don't have the answer for. And as we seek your heart today, God, I want to ask you to speak a clear word. Speak by your Holy Spirit into our hearts today, Lord. Show us what we need to do, if anything, to be the answer that needs to come. Thank you, Father, for supplying all of the answers to these prayers and for always being so faithful to meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory. Now, Father, as we study the scriptures together this morning, I pray that our hearts and minds would be open. We would be receptive to what the Holy Spirit wants to teach us in these moments here together today. May we be renewed in the Spirit. May we be renewed in the Word. May we be strengthened and encouraged in our spiritual journey. May we come closer to you. And may we love Jesus more and more. I pray in his precious name. Amen and amen. Let's open our Bibles this morning for Bible study to the Gospel of John in the 14th chapter. Just to build on Jimmy's earlier comments, when I first went into the ministry, I had a preacher to tell me that a preacher really doesn't need more than about 6 weeks' worth of sermons anyway. He says it's the height of arrogance to think that anybody remembers anything you say for more than 6 weeks, so all you need is 6 weeks' worth of sermons. I trust and believe that's not true here. Amen? All right. John chapter 14. And we're looking at the teachings of the Lord, verse 16 through 18. continuing our series on the blessing of Spirit fullness. Jesus is teaching. It's interesting to me. I always, when I think about these passages, these few chapters in here, I always think about what's going on here at Jesus, in Jesus' life. This is the last night of his life before he will be crucified. And he's about to depart. Now, we know that he'll be raised from the dead. He'll spend some more time with these guys before he ultimately ascends to heaven. But I often think about it in the context of myself. And what would I want to say to the people that are nearest to me if I knew this was my last night on the earth? Because I have an idea. I just get an idea that this is sort of behind what Jesus is going to say to his disciples. He loves these men and he wants them to be prepared for his departure. He wants them to be prepared for their future ministry, all that's going to happen with them as they move forward. And so much of what he has to say on this particular night, and again, it's recorded in John 13, 14, 15, 16, and then a prayer in 17. All of those chapters is the last evening of the night of Jesus with his disciples. And so much of what he has to say has to do with the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God who will come and be everything to them that he had been to them up till now. He's going to be everything to them and more as he comes to live and dwell in their hearts and move through life with them. Jesus makes the promise here, and this is why we're starting here. John 14, verse 16. Jesus makes the promise to the disciples in verse 16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Most of our modern translations use the word helper there. That's a good translation of the word. The word literally means one who is called alongside to help. The Holy Spirit is called alongside to help us through life, to live the life of Christ through us. The Old King James Bible uses the word comforter. I like that too. The word comforter reminds me of the comfort that I feel just being in the presence of God. You know, I was fortunate enough to have a good father. And Dad was always there. He was taking care of us. He was seeing to it that our needs were met. And so, you know, I understand not everybody was privileged to have the blessing that I did being raised. But when I think about the word comforter in the relationship to God, I think about it in the context, in the sense of my own father. Because I know that no matter what was going on in the world, whenever I came home, I knew Dad was there. And as long as Dad was there, everything was going to be all right. And there was just great comfort in knowing that my father was there to watch over us, to care for us, and to take care and to meet our needs. And in the context of this passage of Scripture, if we see the comforter as the Holy Spirit, as the helper, as the comforter, coming to us as the comforter, as the very presence of God with us, to just remind us, no matter what you're going through, no matter what's happening in the world around you, no matter what's going on outside, we're in the presence of God, and the presence of God is with us to comfort us, and everything is going to be all right. I think somebody needs to hear that this morning. I think somebody here needs to hear that this morning. Your Father loves you. The Comforter is with you. And everything is going to be all right. Thank you, Lord. Let me finish reading the passage here. He will give you another helper, another comforter, that he will be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Again, I believe it's the King James that says, I will not leave you fatherless. Father will come. Father will comfort you. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for the promise of the Scriptures that tells us that your Spirit is with us here and now. You are present with us in this room today. And not only that, God, your Holy Spirit dwells in the hearts of every one of us who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are with us. You are here. You are now. We thank you for that. Make that real to our hearts, our minds, and our understanding today, Father. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, just to review, because this is about the third or fourth week into this series of messages on the blessing of spirit fullness, just to review just a little bit, most of you know my story, that I came to saving faith in the Lord Jesus back in the early 1970s, back in 1974. I was raised in a church that didn't teach really the Bible per se. It taught us that we should be good people, we should be loving people, we should be kind and serving other people and all of these things which Christianity is supposed to be all about. The problem was they didn't tell us how. And, you know, we're pretty much left on our own to fend for ourselves and figure all that out or accomplish all of those things in the strength of our own willpower. But how many of you know sometimes we don't have the willpower to be loving or kind or serving? We just don't have the will in some situations to be forgiving and all of these kinds of things. I'm not going to do it, is our attitude too many times. But the Holy Spirit, of course, comes to change that attitude in our heart and to give us a new heart and to give us a new will. I came to saving knowledge of Christ through the witness of men in the church in those days. And back in those days, the very strong emphasized teaching back in the 70s was Jesus is coming again. That's a good message. It's a true message. He is coming again. I used to believe he was coming in my lifetime. I'm getting to the place where I can see the end of this journey and I'm not so sure anymore. But he is coming again. And in those days, I thought he was coming right away. In fact, I'm embarrassed to tell you that I refused to buy life insurance from a guy because I told him, I said, I'm not going to need life insurance. Jesus is coming back. And true story. And I got saved believing that Jesus was coming back, knowing that I wasn't ready to meet the Lord face to face. I wasn't a troublemaking kid in a sense. You know, I didn't go out and do mean-spirited things to hurt other people and things like that. Yet I still knew, as I think we all do in our hearts, that we're just not ready, naturally speaking, to stand face to face with the Creator of the universe. I certainly knew I wasn't ready. And the thought that Jesus might come back any moment and I wasn't ready, quite frankly, scared the bejeebers out of me and I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. You understand that? This is just blunt this morning. I wanted to miss that. And I wanted to go to heaven when I leave this earth. And so I came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and I was grateful for that. But the attitude that I had about the Lord, I knew that God was the Creator of all things, and I knew that God dwells in the heavens, and I knew that Jesus was my Lord and Savior, and yet the Bible tells me that Jesus too is seated together with the Father in heavenly places, so that my mindset where God was concerned was that God is way off out there somewhere, and I'm here on the earth, and one day I'll go out to be with the Lord, but in the meantime, it's just kind of me on my own to tough it out and do the best I can, and hope I can hang on till I get there. Because you see, I was never taught, back in those days, I can never remember hearing teaching on the Holy Spirit and who He is and His ministry to us in this present life at this present time. The only time I can remember actually ever hearing about the Holy Spirit was in the church that I was raised in. Every Sunday, you know, we took communion, we received the offering, the ushers brought the offering to the front of the church when it was over, and we sang the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. The end of it says, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That was the only time I ever heard about the Holy Ghost, was at the end of the doxology, week after week. And I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit and His present ministry to us in this world at this time. He was, at least to me, He was what an evangelical preacher by the name of Francis Chan. Some of you have heard of Francis Chan. Several years ago, he wrote a book entitled The Forgotten God. The Forgotten God. Robert Morris pastors Gateway Church down in Dallas, Texas. And he wrote a book and he called it the God I never knew. The God I never knew. And somehow, I guess maybe because we understand things in a linear fashion, and we understand the concept of, we believe in the concept of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so, I don't know, maybe we think because he's third, he's less than the other two. I don't know. But listen, the truth of the matter is that the Holy Spirit is God. He is God. He is the God to whom we relate in this world at this time. He is the God who is with us in this room. He is the God who dwells within us when we get saved. He is the breath of life. He is the promise of the Father. He is God who lives and dwells within us. And you see, because of my lack of knowledge where that was concerned, again, my idea where God was concerned is God was way off out there somewhere, and I'm here in the world just giving it my best, but not really having the strength to do the things that God wanted done in my life. How many of you understand today that everything God commands us to do in the Scriptures, God empowers us to do by the Holy Spirit? God doesn't ask you to do things in your own strength and in your own ability. He asks you to do His will, and then He gives you His Spirit to empower you to do His will. When He says, love one another with the unconditional love of God, the Bible then says in Romans 5:5 that the love of God is poured out into our heart by the Holy Spirit. In other words, the love that He commands us to love with, He gives to us so we can. Everything God asks us to do, He gives us the ability to do by the Holy Spirit within. And I didn't understand that the Holy Spirit was with me. Oral Roberts used to say, He is God in the now. God in the now. And He really is. He is God here with us now. I understood God the Father. He's the Creator. I understood Jesus, God the Son. He's the Savior. And I understood creation and I understood salvation, but I didn't understand transformation and sanctification and the things that the Holy Spirit wanted to do in my life. And it wasn't until years later that I began to really understand and study and be taught things about the precious Holy Spirit who works the will of God in our heart day by day as we surrender to Him and let Him have control in our life. And so what I'm trying to do in this whole series of messages is just to bring to you to renew to your understanding the idea of the person of the Holy Spirit and His personal and intimate work in your life and your heart and in my life and in my heart, so that we understand the power that is ours to do the things in us that God promises and declares that He wants to do. There are awesome things. We read last week, and I won't take the time to do it again today. I encourage you to read in Ephesians chapter 1 that prayer that Paul prays for the church there, Ephesians 1 about verse 16 through the end of the chapter, where Paul prays for the believers there that they would know Jesus more and more so that they could then understand what it was God was wanting to do in them, that they would understand the promises that God had made to them, the power that God had issued to them in the person of the Holy Spirit. All of these things are Paul's prayer for the believers there. He said, I want you to know God more and understand your inheritance and know the promises and walk in the power and experience all that God has for you in this lifetime. I encourage you to read and study that because, you see, I'm convinced that most of you are probably just like I am. Most of the time, our attitude about God is that God is way off and we're here on the earth and one day we'll get to Him. And let me tell you how let me just prove to you that that's what you think. Because, you see, if we really had a God consciousness, and what I mean by that is a conscious awareness of the presence of God with us every moment of every day. If we really had a God conscious awareness of His presence with us every day, guys, listen, we wouldn't go to a lot of the places that we go to. We wouldn't do a lot of things that we do. We wouldn't say a lot of things that we say. We do those things, say those things, go those places because we think, subconsciously at least, God doesn't see. God's not aware. because God's up there and we're down here. But brethren, it's not really that way. The Holy Spirit is with us. The Holy Spirit does see. The Holy Spirit does know. And the Holy Spirit is with us. As a result of that, as a result of not walking continually with the present consciousness of the Lord, we often get our minds on the things of the world, with the result that we find ourselves in fear, in worry, in anxiety, in frustration, and all of these things that are, listen to me, all of these things are the fruit of the human spirit that is focusing its attention on the circumstances of the world and not on the presence of the Lord. My Bible says this, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, my Bible says this, God will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is fixed on Him. Brother and sister, if we're not walking in perfect peace, it means our mind is fixed on something else and not God. We're concerned about the economy, or we're concerned about terrorists, or we're concerned about nuclear threats and disaster, or we're concerned about the weather. And listen, I'm not saying we shouldn't be concerned, but I'm saying, and not aware, but I'm saying we need to stop worrying about that stuff, and we need to put all that stuff into the hands of God. And listen, most of the things that we worry about, most of the things that we worry about, the reason we worry about them is because we can't control them. Think about that for just a moment. We worry about them because we can't control them. If you can't control them, why are you worrying about them? But that's what we do. See? And we fix our minds on the things of this world, and we get anxious, and we get fearful, and we worry. Instead of fixing our mind on God and letting the peace of the Lord by the Spirit of God rule and reign over our hearts and over our lives. My Bible says this in 2 Timothy 1:7. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound and disciplined mind. Fear, brother and sister, is not from the Lord. Worry and anxiety is not from God. That's why the Bible says hundreds and hundreds of times, fear not. What did I just tell you a minute ago? Everything God commands you to do, God gives you the power to do. If God says fear not, we don't have to be afraid. If God says stop worrying, we can stop worrying. But we've got to fix our mind on the Lord and turn our mind to spiritual things and not be focused on worldly things. Yeah, we know that things are going on. Not a thing in the world that we can do about 99% of it. We need to stop worrying about it. Instead, we need to be like Jesus. Remember Jesus in the back of that boat last week? The storm's raging, the water's filling the boat, the disciples are freaking out, and Jesus is asleep on a boat. Man, if they hadn't woke him up, he'd have missed the whole thing. He'd have slept right through it. I saw Z Busey's not here today, and we need to continue to pray for Z and Marvin and the deaths in their families, both of them last week. She posted, might have been early this morning, I was up so early in my mind, it says. Anyway, she said something on Facebook about the fact that over the last week or so, they've been so wrapped up in the family issues and all this been going on. She said, I haven't thought about the Democrats, and I haven't thought about the Republicans, and I haven't thought about the president, and I haven't thought about all this kind of stuff. And her point was, doesn't matter. Hasn't affected her. No problem. We would do good to forget a lot of the stuff that we focus our mind and attention on and just lay it aside, because only God can take care of it anyway, and just leave it with Him to take care of. See? And we could miss. You know, we're sorry for what the Buseys have been through over the last week. But her point is, she's had her mind on other things and missed the stuff that used to aggravate her. We don't have to, listen, we can miss a lot of the stuff that usually aggravates us if we just set our mind on God, if we would just become aware of the presence of the Lord. Let me show you some things that God wants to bring to bear in your heart and in your life. Look at the book of Galatians with me very quickly. And look at chapter 6. I'm sorry, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. This list of things in Galatians 5:22 is a list of things that the Holy Spirit wants to produce in your life, okay? And I want you to listen carefully, because listen, the things that I'm going to read to you here today, these are the things that most of us are working ourselves to death to try to obtain. And the Holy Spirit wants to give them to us. Look at what it says there in Galatians 5:22. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. These are the things that the Holy Spirit wants to produce in our life. And if we will surrender to the Spirit of God and yield ourselves to the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit will produce. Listen, I could go for some of this. I could go for some peace in my life, for some joy and for some love, for some kindness and all of these things that he wants to do there. The Holy Spirit wants to produce all of this in our life. Look back over at back over two or three books. Back over to the book of Romans. You're in Galatians, 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, Romans going to your left. Romans chapter 14. Verse 16. Just look at 16 and 17. Paul says, therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God brings righteousness, peace, and joy by the Holy Spirit to our lives. Let me just say this to start with here concerning the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is now. Again, this is something else that we tend to put off into the future when we read the Bible. We think about the kingdom of God as something that will come when Jesus comes again. But Jesus tells us that the kingdom of God is already here in the realm of the Spirit. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within you. The kingdom of God is with you. He said, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then know that the kingdom of God has already come. Paul writes in Colossians and he says, when we came to Jesus Christ, we were transferred from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of God. You and I are already citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And we need to understand that. The kingdom is here now and we are already citizens of it. Paul tells us in the book of Philippians, our citizenship is not of this world, but it's of heavenly places. We are seated together with Jesus there, according to Ephesians chapter 1. The kingdom has come. We are already in the kingdom, and you and I should be reaping the benefits and walking in the blessings of it, the righteousness, peace, and joy that come with it. You know, in this world today, in international law, there's this thing called diplomatic immunity. You familiar with that? We have foreign diplomats who come to the United States. We send diplomats to other countries. And the diplomats that come to the United States don't live by the laws of the United States. They live by the laws of their own countries. It's why they can come here and park illegally and not have to pay the tickets and all these kind of things. They just declare diplomatic immunity. We don't have to live by your law. It's international law. When our diplomats go to foreign countries, they don't abide by the laws of those countries so much. They abide by the laws of the United States. And they have diplomatic immunity wherever they go. The point is this, brother and sister. Even though they're in a foreign country, they still live by the laws of the country of which they are citizens. You and I are citizens of the kingdom of God. You and I don't have to be subject to the kingdom of darkness anymore. The kingdom of darkness wants to bring sin. The kingdom of darkness wants to bring deception. The kingdom of darkness wants to bring fear and worry and anxiety and all of these things into our lives, getting our eyes off of the things of God and onto the things of the world and onto the negativity that's all around us. The kingdom of darkness wants to do all of that to us. And what I want you to see today is that you and I need to begin to declare some diplomatic immunity. And just let the devil know, you know what? I may be in this world, but bless God, I'm not of this world. And I'm not going to be moved by this world. I'm going to focus on my Father and the heavenly kingdom of which He and I live in. And I'm going to be focused on those things. And I'm only going to let those things move my heart and move my life. We don't have to be subject to the kingdom of darkness anymore, brother and sister. We are a part of the kingdom of God. And in that kingdom, there is righteousness, and there is peace, and there is joy, listen, in the Holy Spirit, Paul said. Paul says when we live our life in unity, in communion, in oneness with the Holy Spirit of God, then we experience righteousness, peace, and joy. That's why Paul ends the book of 2 Corinthians, if you can flip over there real quickly with me, just the very last verse of 2 Corinthians. You're there in Romans. Next book is 1 Corinthians, then 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. Paul concludes the letter, and you know, sometimes we look at the openings and the closings of letters and we think, well, that's just an opening, just a closing, nothing there, nothing to write home about. How many of you understand that there's revelation in everything God put in His Word? Even the openings and the closings and the little things like that, where He says here, for example, in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we taught grace to you a while back, the love of God, the unconditional everlasting love of God. Now look at this next one. And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That word fellowship means communion. It means an intimate relationship and fellowship. It literally means a sharing of life together. He says, may the sharing of life together between you and the Holy Spirit be with you always. Live your life in communion with the Holy Spirit of God all the time. Live as one with the Spirit of God, because the Holy Spirit gives us power for living. He gives us wisdom to know right from wrong. He gives us power to do the right thing when we know the right thing to do, even though it may be a hard thing to do. He gives us power to forgive when it's hard to forgive people who have offended us. He gives us the power to show kindness to the unkind. He gives us the ability to be positive and hopeful, even in the worst of circumstances. He gives us a new nature, so that we can be like Jesus. The Bible says the anointing of the Holy Spirit breaks every yoke of bondage over our lives, every stronghold, every work of the enemy, every habit, every addiction, every sin. It's all broken by the power of the Spirit of God so that we could be set free. It's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians, you're there, in the third chapter in the 17th verse, it says this, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. The Spirit of God, by His power in your heart and on your life, sets you free from every work of darkness in your life. The Holy Spirit is the revelator of all truth to us. The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus. He reveals the will of God to us. He reveals God's plan for us. He leads and guides us. He gives us the very wisdom of God. In Romans, look at the book of Romans. We're kind of back and forth here, but look at the book of Romans again. Back two books to your left. We're going back and forth. I told you before, I think, all this flipping back and forth. This is how I learned the Bible. When I first started going to Bible meetings, I had no clue where anything in the Bible was. And I'm racing back and forth and trying to find books in the Bible and passages that they're reading, all these kind of things. And it took forever. But this is how I learned where the books of the Bible were. When I was a kid, I tried to memorize the books of the Bible in order. I never could memorize the books of the Bible in order. But having to look up scriptures back and forth I'm trying to give you time to find things. Having to find the scriptures for myself, it helped me to find where the various books of the Bible are. So there's some good out of all this, all right? Romans, where'd I ask you to turn? Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 16 and 17. Then we're going back to 1 Corinthians. That's only one book away. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself, testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. First off, that tells me that the Holy Spirit speaks to me. The Holy Spirit confirms to me. I shared with you last week. The only way you know who Jesus is because the Holy Spirit told you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us that we cannot testify that Jesus is Lord except that the Holy Spirit revealed that truth to us. You see. So if you're a believer here today, you've heard the voice of the Spirit of God. It was the Holy Spirit who testified to you that Jesus is Lord, and now you're a child of God. Verse 17. And if we're children of God, we're heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Now look back at verse 14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. One of the great ministries of the Holy Spirit to you and me today is to lead us step by step into the will of God, to show us the plans and purposes of God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. To show us the will of God for our lives, his plan, all that God has in store for us. There's a verse here, by the way, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that I believe is one of the most misunderstood verses of Scripture in the Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul writes this about the leading of the Holy Spirit. Verse 6. Paul says, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom not of this age nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. He's speaking by the Holy Spirit. The hidden wisdom which God has predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Just real quickly, let me just unravel that just a little bit. Paul says our message is a spiritual message, and it is hidden. It's spiritual wisdom hidden from the unbeliever, from of the mind of the unbeliever. It is only something that comes to the person whose heart is ready. Okay? And so he goes on to say here in verse 9, as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Let me just stop right there. That to me is one of the verses of Scripture that is one of the most misunderstood and misused verses in the whole Bible. Let me tell you why I say that. That quote of Scripture, both here and in Isaiah, where Paul got it from, is speaking in both places to the mind of the unbeliever. And he's saying there, the unbeliever doesn't understand the spiritual things of God because they're spiritual and he can't understand them. What he's saying in that verse of Scripture, what eye has not seen, what ear has not heard, in other words, the natural senses cannot perceive the things of the Spirit of God. It takes the Holy Spirit to understand the things of the Spirit of God. And those who don't have the Holy Spirit can't understand the things that God has in store. Continue to read, though, and you'll see why I say what I say. Verse 10. Let me read into it from verse 9. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and all that is prepared for us who love the Lord. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. Look at what he just said. The things that the unbeliever can't understand that God has done for us, the Holy Spirit has revealed to them, revealed them to us so that we can understand. My point, brother and sister, is that the Holy Spirit has been given to us to know the things of God. You see that phrase in verse 9, all that God has prepared for us, that too is something that we typically put off in the future, into the eternal realm. Nobody knows yet what heaven's going to be like. Well, that's true to a degree. But we've found out that the Holy Spirit has been given to us to be a foretaste of the heaven to come. And to reveal to us what God has in store for us. Continue reading with me. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Who among men knows the thought of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. He tells us clearly there, God wants us to know His plans and purposes. God has great things in store for us, and God will reveal them to us by the Holy Spirit if we'll listen to His voice, if we'll follow Him in His ways. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal the great things that God has in store for us, because God has a plan for us for this life, not just for eternity future. And God will order our steps if we follow the Holy Spirit. God wants us to be led by the Holy Spirit as sons of God. Think of it this way. The Holy Spirit is the original GPS. He is the original God's positioning system for our lives. He is the original onboard guidance system to guide our lives. He lives within us so that every day we can hear the voice of God and we can walk in harmony with the Lord and we can fulfill His purpose for our lives. God wants to reveal these things to us. He wants us to understand them. Understand this too, when I talk about hearing the voice of God. And I think most of you probably do. When I talk about hearing the voice of God, I'm not talking about hearing an audible voice. I'm talking about hearing an inward witness. What the Bible calls a still, small voice. A whisper, if you will. The prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah, it says, you will hear a voice behind you saying, walk this way, walk that way. And it's that still, small voice of God as He speaks to us in our heart, spirit to spirit, deep to deep, to speak to us, to give us guidance in our lives. This is how the Holy Spirit speaks, that we might know Him and know His plans and purposes for my life. I've got so many examples and 4 minutes left to share them with you. So many examples of hearing the voice of the Spirit of the Lord. Again, you've all heard the Spirit of God. When He called you to Christ, when He brought you to salvation, that was the voice of the Holy Spirit convicting you and convincing you. You needed to be saved and you needed Jesus to do it. When I heard the call of the Lord to go into the ministry, when I heard the call of God to preach the first time He ever called me to preach, and I'd never done that before and never wanted to ever do it in my life, and He called me to do it anyway. And I knew it was God. When God called me to start this church, I knew it was the voice of God. It wasn't an audible voice, but it was a clear impression in my heart. This is what you're supposed to do with your life. I've had so many experiences I could share with you, so many stories I could tell you about the Holy Spirit speaking to us. One of the things that came to mind this week as I was thinking about this was, for a while there, I had a real hard time keeping up with my wallet. I lost it constantly. I would just lose it. I just couldn't find it anywhere. I remember one time I would leave it. We would go to grocery store, go to Walmart, go to Kroger, go to someplace. I would sit in my man purse. Everybody makes fun of it. It's so big. I'd have to carry it around. I would sit it into the seat of the basket. I would take my stuff to the car. I would put the stuff in the car. I'd shove the basket into the thing in the parking lot, because that's what you're supposed to do, by the way. Everybody get that? When you go to the store, put your cart away. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you today. What was I talking about? Oh, I would leave my wallet in the cart, shove it in there and drive off. On more than one occasion, I had to go back to the store, and thank God, my wallet was still in the cart of the grocery basket. I put it on the top of my car one day. I was going on the other side of town, going to visit toward the hospital over in that direction somewhere. I put it on the top of my car and drove off. Didn't know about it till I got home and reached for my wallet to get it out and to go in the house. Didn't have my wallet. Oh, Lord, what have I done this time? I had no idea. Becky and I got in the car and just started retracing my path toward the other side of town. Now, you guys know I live right over in Windsor Hills. It's a mile or so up to Timberlake Road, winding roads all through there. Becky's driving the car, and I'm leaning out the window looking for my wallet. We went through Windsor Hills. We went across Timberlake Road. We started down Graves Mill Road, and in the first big bend in the road, as we went around the bend, I looked over in the yard. The grass was about as deep as the chair, and about 30 or 40 feet into the yard, how I saw it, I have no idea. My wallet was laying over in there. You don't think the Holy Spirit will lead you? When Sean was a child, when we built the other church on Graves Mill Road over there, we cut down trees, and we were much younger then. And
yes.
We were young and stupid. Now we're just old and stupid. But anyway, we would cut down the trees, pile up the limbs. Well, we realized if you went and dove on those limbs, you could spring back. So we'd play a game, and we'd go dive on the piles of limbs and spring back up. It's a wonder we didn't get stabbed with something and all that stuff. But anyway, we did that. Back in those days, I had a smaller wallet that I put in my shirt pocket. I carried it in my shirt pocket everywhere I went. And so we'd been working all day long, and we'd been doing all of our stuff out there, and went home and reached for my wallet. No wallet. Oh, God. I had a pretty good idea where it would be this time, though. Got to be on all that brush. So Sean went with me, and he was probably about 8 or 9 years old. We went over there, and we walked around for a while, I don't know, 15 or 20 minutes, looking in all that brush, trying to find my wallet. No wallet. Sean says, "Daddy, why don't we pray?" Good idea. Why didn't the preacher think of that? We sat down on a stump and prayed. God is my witness. I got up and walked over to that pile of brush, and my wallet was laying right there where I looked in there. We took it home. You think the Holy Spirit won't lead you? The Holy Spirit cares about everything that concerns your life. This past week, I got an email from Sally Moylan. Most of you know that Joel and Sally were with our church for a number of years while they were students at Liberty. They're now in Australia, where they serve with Youth with a Mission. And they travel throughout South Africa, India, South Asia, all over the continent of Australia, ministering there. Sally's ministry is as a midwife. In most of the places in the world where she goes, women don't go to the hospital to have children. They're out, many of them just out in the outback, out in the jungles and those kinds of things. And her ministry as a midwife is to those women where she helps them deliver their babies and can witness to them about Christ. She does have opportunity from time to time to go in hospitals when she's in some cities and things like that. She wrote this past week about an experience that she had where she went into a hospital and there was a woman that she was taking care of who was in labor and ready to give birth. And there were some doctors that were there, and the woman went into some distress. And everyone was concerned, and the doctors weren't real sure what to do about this particular situation. Sally said that she began to pray and began to ask the Lord what needed to be done. She felt like God gave her a clear word about what needed to be done where this woman was concerned. She went to the doctors and got in their group, and they discussed various things. The doctors did what Sally told them to do, and the baby was born healthy without any problem. You think the Holy Spirit won't lead you? Won't speak to your heart? I think the Holy Spirit spoke to me this morning while I was back there getting ready for the service about the Moylans. Real quickly. The Moylans are coming to the States the end of this year, December and into January of next year, to visit family and friends and churches and their supporters and things like that. Joel and Sally have four daughters. All of them, I guess, under the age of 10 or so or something like that. JJJ is an under, so 8 and under. So you got 4 daughters. There'll be 6 of them coming back. They're going to be here for a couple of months, and they need transportation to travel to visit all of these people and places they've got to go up and down the East Coast. I believe the Lord would have us to rent for them a nice minivan so that they can travel comfortably up and down the coast while they're here in the United States. That gives us, I don't have any idea how much money that would cost to rent a van for several months like that. But that gives us about 10 months to raise some money to support them so that they could be at ease when they get here. They'll have a way to get around. I'm going to ask you to pray about that. I'm going to pray about it further. Check into it a little more, see what we find out, and see what God would have us do. But I think the Lord wants us to bless them in a special way when they come back to the States the end of this year. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to your heart. The Holy Spirit is God in the now, in the present, in you, and in me when we believe in Jesus. He wants to speak to us. He wants to show us God's plan for our life. He wants to empower us to live that plan. He wants us to be used by Him to glorify Jesus Christ. Let me just encourage you to close, as I close this morning, consider a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Develop an awareness of the presence of God with you every moment of every day. Know that, listen, have communion with the Spirit of God. Spend time in the presence of the Lord. The Holy Spirit desires fellowship with every one of us. The Holy Spirit, get this, the Holy Spirit enjoys our company. And He wants us to enjoy His. Commune with the Holy Spirit. Make Him your best friend. There's a proverb, Proverbs 18, says there is a friend who is closer than a brother. I think that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. And He wants to be that to every one of us. The Holy Spirit wants to give us life. He wants to transform our lives. And He wants to use our lives for the glory of Jesus Christ. Father, thank You for the most precious of gifts, the gift of Your Holy Spirit. Speak to us now, Father. Draw us to Your heart. Remind us of the opportunities that we have for communion with You. Help us to develop intimate communion, fellowship, to become partakers of life with the Holy Spirit of God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Open your heart to the Holy Spirit this morning and let Him speak to you. Understand that the voice of the Spirit of God is not a voice of condemnation. It's not a voice of hate and anger. It is a voice of pure love. Now He will convict you, but He will never condemn you. And He will draw you closer and closer to God, revealing Jesus to you and me more and more. That's His ministry. That's what He does in us. Open your heart to the Holy Spirit today. Surrender your life. Thank you, God. Would you stand together with me and remain in an attitude of prayer for just a moment? We bring our service to a close today.
Sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. And I believe that there are those, but some of us in this room have been Christian for years. And we want to be those that hear the Spirit of God speak. We want to be those that say, God, here I am, use me. God wants to speak into your heart. He wants to lead and guide everything that you do and everything that you say. And the first step is to surrender yourself totally, completely to Him and invite the Holy Spirit to come and be all that He wants to be in your life.
We want to be sensitive to everybody's time here this morning, but we do want to offer to any of you who would like for us to pray with you about the release of the Holy Spirit in your life or any of the kind of things that we've been talking about. If we can pray with you about that, we're more than happy to do so. Of course, the very first thing, the most important thing about receiving the Holy Spirit is acknowledging Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Admitting to the Father that, just as I had to do many years ago, my life's not right, God. My life is not right before you, and I need to make it right. I ask you to forgive me of my sins, God, and Lord Jesus, I pray for you to save my soul. If you can pray a simple prayer like that, you can become a child of God. And then God wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. He wants to release that Holy Spirit into your life. Now, in the Bible, there are examples, there are times in the Bible where this was actually done through the laying on of hands. We're more than happy to do that with you. If you would like for us to lay hands on you and pray with you and ask for the Lord to release the Holy Spirit, maybe there's something in your life that you've yet to yield and it's not, it's the reason the Spirit of the Lord is not able to break free in your life the way that He wants to, is because we're holding Him back. The Bible talks about don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Sometimes we do that. If we can pray for you and with you in any way to help you in your spiritual journey and in your relationship with the Holy Spirit, then we are absolutely here to do that today or in your home. I actually had a preacher come to my house and pray with me many, many years ago. However, we can help you in your spiritual journey to be closer to the Lord and more sensitive to the voice of God. Whatever we can do to make that happen in your life, we are here to help you to make that real for you. So you can see us after church, or you can call us through the week, or whatever your needs are. We're here to help you walk closer with God and to see a greater manifestation of God in your life. You let us know how we can minister to you in a personal way. We're going to go ahead and sing and be dismissed. And if we can pray for you now, please come to the front of the church as others are being dismissed, and we will say goodbye to folks, and then we will spend all the time that we need to with you to pray with you about any need in your life. Let's sing together as we close this morning, and then we'll minister to those who need it. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, in your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in your presence day by day, till your likeness may be seen in me. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us here today. Have a great week in the Lord, and please let us know what we can do to help you in your spiritual journey.